Warning. ProTri News is a podcast with different opinions, knowledge and possibly fake news about triathlon racing. This is not for the faint of heart. If you get offended by what is said, please stop listening and go listen to some uplifting meditation music or just go work out and try again. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and some stories may be dramatized for comedic effect. Enjoy.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of ProTri News. This is Talbot here. This is kind of a special episode for you guys to kind of explain what we are pursuing. If you recently saw our mission statement, we are using this platform to encourage and pursue things that we feel and believe are necessary in the sport of triathlon. One of those is clean sport. I don't know if you've just come across our show this week on being one of our regular listeners, or if you recently saw our post on an RTP, which, if you don't know what that is a registered testing pool. So to kind of break down what exactly these pros go through, I'll have Mark, dive into that. Mark, what exactly, how important is a registered testing pool, and kind of can you share with us what these athletes really go through?
Yeah, so registered testing pool is basically the top tier level of testing that occurs based on anti-doping rules. So it's run by world or national federation athletes. And the idea is it enables them to do no notice, no advance notice testing. If you are an athlete selected to be part of a registered testing pool, then you have to update a daily slot with your whereabouts. So you use a system called whereabouts and you have to fill an hour a day in where you must be in that place at that time. Most athletes will choose to do it early in the morning or late in the evening where they know where they might be. Where this becomes really important is it allows anti-doping agencies to build a picture of your locations, and it also then they can more likely hit you with out-of-hours tests, which are allowed. So say you have it set at 6 o'clock in the morning in London in your hotel. They know you're probably there the next day, the day after they look at it, so then they can come and ping you in the evening. And the important ones to notice on that is if you miss the 1 hour slot that you register per day, that counts as a missed test, and an accumulation of those will result in a ban at some point. If they come out of your hour, but try to catch you out of your kind of, you know I need to be peeing clean by then, you don't get a missed test. Why it's really important is it shows an organization's interest in you. So it shows that you are of a caliber, it should be performance-based or likely performance-based, where we want to keep an eye on what you're doing and be able to test you effectively. It's a burden on the athlete. Of course, they have to register their location every time they move. Anything changes, they have to update that. And it just allows for more thorough testing. The other things on that are the levels of these registered testing pools. Now, Ironman's quite unique. Not totally unique now, but they are a non-national federation that can run a registered testing pool because they are a signatory of WADA. Others will be like UK anti-doping, USA anti-doping, etc. And they will all run their own pools, registered testing pools of athletes. Those pools vary in size based on the budget, essentially, you part from. I think that's the summary. Is that right?
Yes. Pat, so we recently posted a graphic, and there and why we are really pursuing this is there's a few athletes on this, and we want to be clear, we don't believe that. I guess chat more into that, Pat.
Yep. So we did some research to understand who is on an RTP and who currently is not on an RTP from the list of the 40 contracted T100 athletes. And so what we want to make really clear here is the athletes do not have a choice or a say in if they are on an RTP. So in the case of, we'll use Ben Canute, he has been removed from the Ironman RTP because he's become a T100 athlete. So what we're, you know, ultimately getting into here is understanding who and where the burden comes to place these athletes on a RTP. So you'll see on the list, some are covered by Ironman because they're still doing Ironman events. Some are covered by their national federation. Some even have both, right? They will be covered by potentially an organization like USADA and an organization like World Tri. And ultimately, our goal here and what we're really trying to navigate and then, you know, promote is that all contracted T100 athletes are on an RTP. And to do that, you know, we want the PTO and the T100 to create their own RTP and have ensure that all 40 contracted athletes are on a registered testing pool.
And I think where we see an issue with athletes not being on RTP, first off, this is the first time since I would say nearly 2012 that you have athletes racing at the highest level of the sport in triathlon, and they're not getting tested out of competition. So, for example, Ironman introduced their whereabouts system in 2012, and World Triathlon, I mean, I don't know when they introduced theirs. I'm sure it was well before that because it's an Olympic event. And I'll use Colin Chartier for a great example. Colin Chartier goes and wins, is not on a registered testing pool. He previously probably was with USA Triathlon because he was a short course athlete. Then when he would have went long course, they would have removed him. And he had no really results. And then he went, goes and races Ironman Mont Tremblant, gets a win there. And then he goes to the US Open, gets a win there. And then Ironman's kind of like, ding, 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 ding. This guy looks like he's doing good. We need to add him to our RTP. And so then Ironman adds Colin Chartier to their RTP. Come 6 months later, after they've added him on a February morning, Ironman knows that he's staying in Girona, and they send a drug tester out to go drug test him at his surprise. They knock on his door, and he tests positive for EPO. That is why these are extremely, extremely important.
Yeah, they are also a preventative measure as well. If you know you're on a registered testing pool, you know testing is possible at any time or even, you know, once a day. It just brings you that level of consciousness that you can't be as liberal with your cheating if you were one of those athletes choosing to break the rules on doping. So it's not just a catching method, it's also a preventative measure, I think. What we said there about they don't get to choose whether they are on a testing pool or not, it's also really important, and partly why we wanted to do this podcast, that not being on a testing pool is absolutely no indication of any sort of guilt on the athlete. And actually, another interesting thing we found is you're meant to be notified when you are put on a testing pool. Of course, you have to be, so you know how to start filling in whereabouts. Lots of national governing bodies make you do the anti-doping awareness courses anyway. But also, they're meant to notify you when you're taken off of a testing pool, registered testing pool, or the level below that is just called a testing pool. What we found from the survey, because of course all this information is public forum as well, so we put it together through a survey, but if you want to do enough digging, you can find every sport's national governing body testing pool out there. So we're not disclosing anything private here. Actually, a lot of athletes didn't even know they'd been taken off testing pools until we prompted the question, and they've been filling in whereabouts for a year pointlessly, which is pretty bad management and annoying for the athlete. But that was an interesting find as well.
And another interesting thing is that like what Mark said, and I want to hit it home again, we are not accusing any athlete on this graphic that we have posted of doing anything wrong. And a perfect example would be athletes like Ben Canute, Dave McNamee, Jason West. Those guys have been literally on registered testing pools since they were nearly U23 athletes coming up in the sport. They were on their, Dave McNamee would have been on the UK testing pool. Jason West, Ben Canute were on USADA. Once they went long course, USADA or their federation would have said, all right, we don't need to test these guys anymore. They're not doing short course. We're passing them on to you, Ironman, if you want them. And so Ironman would have picked them up. And just recently, you get someone like Ironman, and they're looking at someone like Ben Canute or Jason West, and they're like, their main focus this year is the T100 races. It's no hard feelings, but now they are out of Ironman's jurisdiction. They're like, they're focusing on that series, and we are trying to catch athletes doing our races, our series. So there's no reason for us to really test them. It's not out of ill will. Iron Man's not mad at the T100 series. They're just saying that someone, like let's say someone progressing in the Iron Man series, they're like they're not being tested, so we need to pick them up. And Pat, why can't we just test everyone? Why isn't Iron Man just testing everyone?
Yeah, this does ultimately cost money. And it's clear that Iron Man has invested well over $1 million into their own RTP.
Per year.
And so they're taking on the burden of that cost for their own organization. And what we went back to saying and understanding is, as a private organization, it's amazing that they've created this budget and this line item expense to ensure clean sport for their series of races, but they are not going to police other series. It's just like they wouldn't primarily for a world triathlon athlete or for somebody that was doing Super League or primarily challenge. They're ensuring that their league, Ironman, is clean. And so if somebody has made it clear that they're stepping out of that, they're not going to be the global triathlon anti-doping police.
No, and they've invested more than 10 million in this over the last 12, 13 years, which is a huge amount of money for a commercial organization without much to gain from it except to try and keep their image clean. The people not doing any registered testing pool at the moment are the PTO. They have depended on Ironman. Indeed, Ironman picked up Colin Chartier, having, you know, he'd won one of the PTO events. And it's clear that Ironman aren't willing to do that, nor should they. And the PTO now have a partner in World Triathlon. So we are expecting an announcement, though some would say it's a little bit late, having had two of the races of the series already, with two winners of the series so far not currently sitting in testing pools. But how do we think that announcement's going to look like? Do we think they're going to do it privately, or do we think it'll be some sort of deal with World Triathlon that kind of enforces the national governing bodies to pick up their athletes that are in part of the series? I'm curious.
So this is kind of just, I think, why we are raising these questions is like what we said. It's in our mission statement. We have things that we want to pursue, and this is definitely one of them. In 2020, the PTO announced its partnership with Sport Integrity to build a kind of anti-doping program for the PTO. And really, we haven't seen anything other than when the PTO events happen in competition drug testing at their finish line. And then additionally, they are doing these, before the competition, a blood spot test. You put this little blood leech on, and
borderline pointless. They didn't do blood spot testing at Miami or Singapore, so that's been dropped. They did post-race testing for people that performed quite well. So pretty light, you would say. We all know that the least likely time to catch someone is in competition. So that's why it's so vital they get together out of competition testing program of some sort.
And we have pressed on PTO. The athletes have pressed on PTO. And even chatting with Colin after the race, just personally, he said that the PTO has no plan. There is no plan. And like I said, we are not knocking the PTO down. We are just simply asking the question. And we did this on our live show in Milwaukee last year. We asked Sam, when are you guys going to announce your anti-doping program? And he even told us on the show, he said that we have a plan that is going to go and take professional sport to a new level, an anti-doping plan. It's going to involve whereabouts. It's going to involve drug testing, all this stuff. We plan to announce it a couple weeks ahead of Singapore. This was last year. And so since then, they've announced their partnership also. Well, they had recently announced their partnership with World Triathlon. And so we all kind of assumed that this would just be wrapped into World Triathlon and World Triathlon would pick up these athletes on an RTP. But it looks like that has not become the case. So,
and of course, it's an Olympic year. So it's an Olympic year for the national federations, who are very hot on their own athletes right now. They have a limited number in each of their testing pools, which is, again, budget budget constraints. Until they know which athletes they're not taking to the Olympics or are retiring, they have to find either money on that program or space on that program. We know anecdotally that they are, you know, some of the federations are really testing athletes heavily right now. So if it is a national federation now responsibility, then they need to find resource from somewhere. And ultimately, this does just come down to resource, because we know for a fact that Ironman offered the PTO to buy into their registered testing pool, WADA, signatory status testing program. The PTO chose not to. You can't help but wonder if Ironman just put an obscene price on it. But, you know, it is ultimately down to money, because we know that you could put everything in place and become a WADA signatory within less than a year, if that's what Ironman did. And they were the first non-federation body to do it. So they obviously had to break through some loopholes, etc. That's been done now. It's a proven path. It does kind of just fall down to money.
So if we talk about solutions, the first solution would be what you just said, Mark. It would be for the PTO to help buy into that Ironman RTP, which seems like the most likely solution for me, right?
Well, I would say probably the best solution for the sport, but in my opinion, the least likely.
Yep. But that would be it would also be cost effective, right?
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. The two organizations haven't always played nice together.
Yep.
So you wonder whether the Ironman really, you know, wanted them to buy into it and were willing to share resource. But I can't help but think they did, because they run this program. The fact that they run this program for me suggests they want clean sport. There isn't, yes. You know, there's no other reason to do it.
Yeah, they do not need to do in any way, shape, or form test these athletes. World Triathlon has to, because it's an Olympic sport. Ironman just purely does it out of integrity of the sport.
I would say there's some commercial benefit in that you need your product to be viable, and you need the amateurs, etc., that follow it to believe in the product. If they had people outright doping pretty visibly, or they were caught on things like they did a federation race and they got caught there, it would be very bad for their brand, which is also why it's extremely risky for the PTO to run races with athletes not in testing pools, because if they now get caught, it is really bad for the brand. Really, really bad for the brand.
Yep. So let's go back one more time to solutions though, real quick. The other piece would be there has
World
to be
tri-
a, World Triathlon has to pick up the tab here. So I, you know, the other piece is that they are the governing body of the T100 and the PTO, and they oversee all of the other rules in this sport. So why would they not also pick up the tab to ensure that the sport is being run clean? And I think, you know, what I really want to get across here is that, you know, this, I don't believe that triathlon, what we're talking about here, can afford another positive test. And what we're ultimately trying to do is ensure that the sport is clean. So what I hope happens that when you create these RTPs is that it's enough. You've taken away the want or the need for somebody to take drugs, because they know that they might get caught, right? And I think that when they see these openings, it can create a huge problem.
Yeah, and I would go on. Sorry, tell me again.
Pat, can you go into that a little bit more? Let's just say, let's make up a fake name so the listeners can understand this. Let's say Austin Jimmy is an athlete, okay, and he's racing in the professional field, and he is not on a registered testing pool, and the guy's at home, and he knows he's not a registered testing pool, and he's shooting up EPO every night. And then all of a sudden, he starts winning races. He wins. Let's say he wins Texas Ironman. Austin Jimmy's just on. He's picking up his sponsors. And then he gets added to Ironman's RTP, and this guy's favored to win Kona, but now he's on an RTP. What are we going to see with Austin Jimmy's results?
Yeah, so typically.
Theoretically.
Yes. Yeah, so typically, if you knew you were being watched, you would have way less incentive to and way less time to get away with the cheating, right? And part to that as well is that if you know you're being watched and you're on an RTP, you just you know that there's a much higher likelihood where if you're not on an RTP, the reality is that you can go around the world, you can do whatever you want, and you're under zero threat of drug testers coming up. And the reality is too, if drug testers knock on your door and you're not on an RTP and you don't answer the door, there's no recourse for that.
That's the big bit, right? Because everyone says, oh, you can just be tested anytime. If you've done an Ironman race, essentially in a waiver, you've said that you're willing to be tested. It's the fact that you can just outright ignore it.
Yep. So you can really essentially you're lawless in this case. So, but I want to go back to what happens if Austin, what's his name? Austin Jimmy.
Yeah.
Let's say that he's on a tear for a bunch of years, right? And he's acquired a huge number of sponsors. And then
he's never been on RTP.
Never been on RTP, but he's racking up. He's got tons of money in his pockets now. He's crushing it. And then Austin goes positive. And what happens is that money doesn't get put back into clean athletes' hands. That money just gets evaporated. It gets and the sponsor feels burned in this case. The sponsor feels like they look like an idiot. And they're ultimately stuck thinking about triathlon as this, you know, rinky-dink sport that the sports marketer got burned on. And it's the issue is that the sport of cycling has gone through a couple of these, but the sport of cycling is 20, maybe 30 times larger than triathlon. So the brands almost have to be there. And I'm not sure that triathlon is big enough where the brands have to be there.
Yeah, they could essentially just go back to swimming, go to biking, and go to running. They don't have to sponsor all three sports, which is triathlon.
It's such a good point, and it's honestly a blessing that Colin basically didn't have any good sponsors. You know, like Austin Jimmy's riding around on Specialized Oakley, he's got Red Bull, he's got all the big sponsors. Like, you're right, if he won a world champ and then got popped, that's a massive blow for the sport. Massive. It's something that people don't think about.
And to add on to Pat, let's just say he didn't test positive and then all of a sudden he's added to RTP. They're putting lots of pressure on him. They're like, we know he's doing good. We're going to catch this guy. He's being tested and tested and tested. And then you see Austin's results really go back down to where he's about a normal human because he's being watched. And so, Pat, in this case, and I'm not saying that we have or haven't seen this before. I'm just saying, like, is that a win?
Yeah. The agencies are doing their jobs in that case because they have created a system that deters doping. So I think a lot of times what we see and what we worry about is that if there's not a positive test, the system isn't working. Where I see it the opposite in a lot of cases where we know that the risk is so high that it's simply just not happening. Mark, what I'm hoping you can give some insight into, just because you live with a professional athlete, and as do I, but when I was explaining this to my wife and that there's athletes not on an RTP that she's racing against, and I said, how would you feel racing, going to a race and being on a start list where you knew that athletes were not on an RTP? And
some of the best athletes there.
Her jaw was on the floor and she goes, I cannot imagine going to a short course race knowing that.
Yeah, I think it's particularly challenging to come around, partly also just because of the disadvantage of being on one. It is a burden. It's an administrative burden to update all your stuff, to be thinking about, well, any time I travel, I need to update this. Actually, the tests coming at silly times of the day are a burden. So athletes not having that burden is an advantage, even if they're not doing something nefarious. Now, to be very clear, that's not their fault. They just haven't been selected for it. I think luckily in triathlon, some of the names that we look down, and you'll see the graphic, that are not on RTPs, I would come very close to betting my life that they are clean athletes. But it's just a situation you don't need in a sport that's, you know, especially in the area of the sport we're talking about, mainly T100, that claims to be the pinnacle of the sport. There just needs to be a level playing field. I will say, we talked about the RTBs doing their job. There are some agencies in there almost going above and beyond, and then there are some agencies in there not pulling their weight. Now, the national federations that have athletes on their registered testing pool aren't required to do so, but they're doing due diligence in supporting the long-distance sport. You'll see some of the French athletes, so the French Federation, do a couple of their athletes. Sport Australia is doing a couple of their athletes. But then there are some big notables. USA Anti-Doping has no interest in long-distance athletes. It doesn't have any of them on the testing pools. UK, it has a couple, but you know, not really many. Is that because they're good, as in they have lots of their own triathletes to deal with that are performing at a very high level, or just that they're just not interested in the long-distance sport? I will say, I bet if it's deemed that it's World Triathlon's responsibility to put athletes on RTPs for all T100 athletes, if I was Ironman and they say it's our responsibility, anyone racing will be on the National Federation, if I'm Ironman, I'm dropping every single T100 athlete from my RTP simply to open up space for other athletes that don't race T100 and just hand the burden across to World Triathlon and the PTO. And if I was Ironman, that's exactly what I would do.
And to see what that would do, that is 29 athletes that Mark just mentioned on our graphic. I'm just going to run through here and mention a few names real quick, and just want to be very clear too. This, we do not believe in any way, shape, or form that these athletes are doing anything wrong, but this is to show you how important it is. In fact, we're naming these names because we believe that they aren't doing anything wrong, but it shows that they're not on a testing pool. You have an athlete like Sam Long who just came on the Ironman testing pool this last April 1st. He has not been on a registered testing pool for nearly a year because USA Triathlon will not pick up long course athletes. That is an embarrassment to USA Triathlon that you're not testing long course athletes, especially given the caliber and the stance you guys have on the sport. Some other notable mentions, and like I said, again, this is not their fault. India Lee, winner of a T100 series, not an RTP, recently removed from UK AD. Holly Lawrence, a podium athlete, not on an RTP, not their faults in any way, shape, or form. Mathis Margier, not on an RTP. Jason West, Ben Canute, McNamee, Max Newman. Jason West and Max Newman were both athletes that were on the podium at events, and this is not their fault in any way, shape, or form. And another one too, Yuri, our series leader. And it's not Yuri's fault that he's not on here, but it's just, you kind of sit here, these athletes are not focusing on Ironman events, so why should they be on here? Before I close, I think I just want to be very clear. If you are an athlete, this is our call to you to ask these big questions, to go to the PTO and tell them how important clean sport is to you, and push this on them and ask them these questions. And we might get some flack for this, and that's completely fine. But I'd much rather flack for this than to be sitting on an airplane, flying next to someone, tell them that my job is in the sport of promoting triathlon, and that guy look at me and say, oh, isn't that a super dirty sport? We love this sport, and it's our duty as a media outlet and friends and families of the professional athletes to continue to promote clean sport. So if you're a professional athlete, you're listening to this, or if you're a general fan, we call to just ask the bigger questions. PTO, what is the plan? When are you going to announce the plan? Are you guys going to partner with World Triathlon? What is the solution to this to ensure clean sport?